There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
As Democrats debated last night, there was no appetite for quickly ending the Trump tariffs. From New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The Democratic presidential hopefuls in last night's debate in Houston took aim at many of President Trump's policies, including trade. At the same time, the candidates also insisted they, too, would take on China. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live from Washington. Nancy, how did this play out on stage last evening?
Well, David, Senator Joe Biden complained that China is stealing our intellectual property and dumping steel. He talked about working with other countries to get China to stop unfair trade practices. Senator Elizabeth Warren said the U.S. trade negotiating team should be more inclusive.
I want to negotiate trade with unions at the table. I want to negotiate it with small farmers at the table. I want to negotiate it with environmentalists at the table.
What do the candidates have to say about the effects of all these higher U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods?
Well, Senator Amy Klobuchar is from Minnesota, and she had this to say about how President Trump's trade policies have affected farmers.
He has put us in the middle of this trade war, and he is treating our farmers and our workers like poker chips in one of his bankrupt casinos.
But the thing is, the Democrats can't go too far in criticizing President Trump on trade because he's co-opted a lot of their trade playbook. They've complained for years that trade agreements aren't fair to workers and led to American job losses. None of the nine candidates asked about trade last night said they would quickly repeal the tariffs Trump has put in place on China.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Now, there is a new sign this morning that trade tensions are ratcheting down incrementally ahead of a planned new round of U.S.-China trade talks. China's official news agency today said Beijing will exempt U.S. pork and soybeans from additional retaliatory tariffs. Lower-level trade talks are set for next week with a high-level meeting planned for October. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London, down 0.1%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 3 to 4/10 of 1% range. You know, interest rates have been trending higher in the last week. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield is at 1.81% now after going below 1.5% earlier this month. Millions of Californians would have new protections under a rent control measure passed by the state assembly this week. Governor Gavin Newsom is likely to sign it into law. Among other things, it would put new limits on the ability of landlords to evict tenants. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more on that.
California has more renters than the rest of the country, 45% of its residents compared to the national average of 36. That's according to Zillow. David Garcia at UC Berkeley says those who stand to benefit the most from eviction protections are
low-income individuals, people of color.
According to the Eviction Lab, a research institute, there were more than 2 million evictions in the U.S. in 2016, around 41,000 in California. This measure would put limits on the reasons landlords can evict tenants. And in some cases, it would require landlords to pay up to 1 month's rent for tenants to relocate. Jenny Schutz with the Brookings Institution says this measure still doesn't get at bigger problems, a shortage of housing and flat wages.
So providing just cause eviction protection doesn't do anything about the underlying lack of money.
The California Apartment Association, a lobbying group for landlords, says it initially was opposed to the measure, but then it negotiated for changes to the list of reasons landlords are allowed to evict tenants and withdrew its opposition. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a construction firm in Japan, Kongo Gumi, that's been in business for 1,441 years and is said to be the oldest continuously operating company in the world. Most companies, however, do not live forever, and to bring a sense of purpose to any organization, we have an expert here to suggest companies consider what people will say about them when someday the company dies. Josh Levine is co-founder of Culture Lab X, an online community focused on the culture of work, and he's author of the book Great Mondays. Mr. Levine, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so as an exercise, you're urging people to write the eventual obituary of their company?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the obituary exercise is something that helps leaders kind of get out of the day-to-day and explore the why they're in business. Not so much, I don't care how your company died or how you want to predict that.
Well, you're not supposed to write down, I made a lot of money and the return on investment was awesome. That's not what you're talking about.
No, that's not. Absolutely. This is all to really help uncover a company's purpose. And your purpose is why you're in business beyond making money.
Purpose, because you think that makes for a more nurturing workplace?
Well, I mean, nurturing, I think, is one thing and certainly can deliver on that. But it's a conceptual vessel for everyone to be able to get on the same page to, you know, really find a place that is clear about what they want to do. And it may not be for everybody. And that's great. You don't want to have the people who don't believe in what you do join. But those who do are going to be attracted and are going to be less vulnerable to leave and be poached by maybe headhunters. They want to join a mission they want to be part of. And that is ultimately what this exercise is meant to get at.
It actually would be also instructive for a company if they tried to write its eventual obit and they came up with a self-centered bunch of jerks hell-bent on fleecing any customer they could get their hands on. I mean, you may need to repurpose, right?
Yeah, of course. If you walk out of the room and yelling, I don't really know what we're supposed to be doing here. Well, that's a big finding. That's a really important way to go, well, what should we be doing? How do we reposition? How do we reimagine what we're doing so that we're actually relevant in the market? And it's not just employees, it's customers. They know, they understand, they can see what you're doing, and they can decide to join that mission or, you know, ignore you.
Josh Levine is co-founder of Culture Lab X and author of the book Great Mondays, How to Design a Company Culture Employees Love. Mr. Levine, thanks.
Thank you.
So what will they say about your organization if, just a thought experiment, if it were to bite the dust? We're especially interested in thoughtful ones that would fit on a headstone. Share them with us Twitter, Facebook, or at marketplace.org, where you will find a submission page for your company obituaries. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.